Hi, New City Eastlake. Welcome to our service today, which is really interesting as you think about it, because we're living in interesting times. With this coronavirus thing going on, it's really difficult for us, I imagine, that we're not meeting together. We're not coming together as God's people, fellowshipping in His church together. But this is a season that the Lord has us in, and so we're gonna weather the storm together in this way. So I don't know if you're watching from the comfort of your couch, or if you're doing dishes or whatever you're doing, or if the kids are running around. But I just want to welcome you today to our service. We're gonna be doing this for the next few weeks. We don't know for how long. And it's because of what we're going through that I have been thinking and praying to the Lord and asking, what is it that we need to be considering during this time? And I thought if we went into looking into the book of Philippians, which is called an epistle of joy, it would actually be a good time for us to pause from our study in the book of Deuteronomy and consider what the Lord has to say to us in this very precarious, difficult, disruptive, and strange time. And I think the epistle of joy of the book of Philippians does provide things that we need to consider as a church, and especially as it talks about the joy that comes from the Lord, the joy that God gives to us that's not dependent upon our circumstances. And so I want to encourage us today from the book of Philippians chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, whether on your cell phone or just your real Bible, would you please turn to Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And let me read us God's word. Paul writes and he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it into completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Could you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do come to you this time. What a strange way to be considering your word together. We may not be together face to face, but Lord, we know that your spirit dwells in us. And so we ask your spirit who dwells within us to allow us this day to hear your word, be blessed by your word, be convicted by your word, be transformed by your word. May we be encouraged by your word, despite what we face. Allow us to understand it today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi is a letter of encouragement. And I said it's commonly referred as the epistle of joy. And I think it's interesting for us to think about that, right? That this epistle would be called an epistle of joy when we know what Paul is going through. We know that Paul is in prison in Caesarea, in Rome. Paul had been there for 2 years without a trial. He doesn't even know how his trial is going to come along. He had survived this perilous storm. He was deserted by his friends. There were people that were opposing Paul from left, right, and center. And he's possibly facing execution for his faith. Again, and this is the epistle of joy? How is that possible? That despite all these things, Paul is still filled with the joy of the Lord. Paul is not just simply content with his life. I mean, hard to be content in these circumstances, but he says he had learned to rejoice in every circumstance, in everything, because his joy and his contentment was not dependent in any way of his circumstances. His secret, we may wonder, what's your secret, Paul? Just share your secret with us so that we may know why you're filled with so much joy and so much contentment. It is because Paul had filled his mind with Jesus. Paul had filled his mind with Christ. He will say later on that he longed to know Jesus, to know him and nothing else. You know, Paul had excelled in so many other things. He was a great orator. He was amazing in so many other things, but he would consider all those things rubbish except knowing Christ. And so Paul is here in this passage expressing the joy that no one can take from us, not even coronavirus. Joy that no one can take from us. And so this day I want us to briefly consider what it looks like for us to encourage one another during these strange times that we are facing. Is it possible for us as a church to be joyful? Is it possible for us to be content and give thanks to God despite our current circumstances? And the answer is an astounding yes. Yes, we can be joyful. Yes, we can be content. And so that's what I want to encourage us. That's what I want to help us so that we may encourage one another. And then the reason why we must be encouraged, even in our circumstances, is because we have the assurance of God's faithfulness. We have the assurance of God's faithfulness. Look at verses 1 through 5 as we just read these verses. I wish we had time to actually consider in more detail the greeting that that Paul is giving to this church here, which basically begins from, you know, Paul addressing the church in Philippi as saints, calling them as saints, that they are the people that God has set apart for himself. As God's children, they ought to know that God is present with them, that God is with them, that God had given them his grace. And that's the same thing for us as Christians, right? Today, as believers, saints are not just Paul and the people that lived in the past. We are the saints. We are the saints of God. And that ought to remind us that God is with us, leading us and guiding us. And then Paul here, he proceeds in verses 3, giving thanks to God. He said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He proceeds to give this passionate, this beautiful prayer from his heart. He's expressing his gratitude, his joy, his affection, his longing, his love for the church. And that's really where I want us to begin when we look at verses 1 through 5. Encouragement through gratitude. Encouragement through gratitude. He gives thanks to God for the church as he remembers them in prayer. And he is here leading the way and showing them how to be joyful despite their circumstances. His joy, again, as I mentioned, has nothing to do with where they are, with their trials that they're experiencing. But his gratitude begins with God. I thank my God, he says in verse 3. And I think Paul is here really pointing to the transforming effects of God's grace in his life. Paul had experienced the saving grace in his life that had transformed him from the inside out. God's grace so transformed him that even in prison, his gratitude to God guided his prayers, how he prayed to God, his attitudes, how he was able to look at life, his thoughts, how he thought about what's going on and what's going to happen to me now that I'm in prison and possibly getting executed. And then he gives thanks for his friends in Philippi, for the church. He lays out several elements of his prayers, I think. First of all, he tells us, and we may want to ask the question, how often or how much do we give thanks to God? And for Paul, it is always. Wait, Pastor Josiah, you mean always, even during this pandemic? And I say, absolutely yes. We ought to give thanks to God even when we're experiencing difficult times, that our prayers must be filled with gratitude to God. You know, I really honestly think this, that if we want to consistently give thanks to God regardless of our circumstances, we need to go down on our knees in prayer, giving thanks to God. We need to look upward, look to God, and focus on God's gracious work in us in our life, even when times are tough. And notice Paul is also praying for the whole church, excuse me. Even though we didn't get, even those people that they didn't get along with one another, right? Indeed, this is a good time for us to be reminded of how much we need to give thanks for each other, for one another. Even people that we may not particularly get along with. Paul remembers his friends in Philippi. He knows that there was disunity and fighting and grumbling and all of it. And yet he gives thanks for them all, not just for a few that he liked, but for all the people. Because the truth is, we're all affected, right? Even in this time that we're experiencing, we're all affected by what's going on. Whether it's disruptions in our rhythms of life or a loss of work or whatever it is, we are all affected. And we ought to give thanks for one another because prayer transcends the barriers that divide people. One commentator says, from the perspective of prayer, Paul sees the unity of God's people as an undivided whole in Christ. We're all together, undivided. And his prayers are also specific, and we ought to be praying the same way, right? Specific prayers. Verse 5, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel. Paul is praying for this church and thanking them because of their partnership in the gospel. He's a realist. He's a realist. He's being specific. He's not trying to escape the reality of brokenness and of what's going on. Just because he's emphasizing giving thanks does not mean that he doesn't acknowledge the brokenness of the world. The Philippian church had real needs, urgent needs that Paul had to bring to the Lord on their behalf. And so that's why we give thanks to God. But we also come to him and make our requests, make our petitions known to him, because our request ought to be very specific. Again, the source of Paul's joy is in God, who began the good work of partnership in the gospel and one who is faithful to complete it. We can therefore give thanks to God and be joyful. Why? Because our confidence is not in us. Our confidence is in him, who begins and who finishes his good work in us. It's a joyful confidence that doesn't deny suffering, doesn't deny the fact that we're going through a hard time, that we're scared, that we're living in a broken world. But even in those uncertain times, we can come before him, give him the things that are in our hearts, make our requests made known to him, but still be filled with joy. Again, gratitude to God is what lifts us to express a joyful praise to God. If you want to express your joyful praise to God, be grateful for what the Lord has done. Remember one another in prayer. Remember one another in encouraging each other in prayer. Not just in our circle of friends here at East Lake, but around the world. People that are affected by this pandemic. And so as we lift our prayers to God, let us give thanks for our friends here, for our friends far and wide, and may that fill us with joy and praise for God. Paul is setting a good example for the church in hard times, for us to be thankful, because there's really nothing greater, there's no greater gratitude than what fills our hearts when we think of the mercies that we have received in Christ and the joy that fills our hearts, and that can encourage us. Okay. Secondly, I want us to look at verses 6 to 8 and see encouragement by assurance. Paul is really giving this strong assurance to the church in Philippi. And he takes them all the way back to the very beginning. I mean, I can even think of the book of Acts in Acts chapter 16 and think of Lydia, remembering the Lord opened her heart so that she could receive the message of Paul. I think of the Philippian jailer who would remember being told, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. This is the good work that Paul is referring to, the work that God began by choosing them, by giving them his mercy and his grace, setting them apart and saving them. And this work is not finished. God is still putting, if you will, the finishing touches on what he has done. But this good work, I actually think, also includes the fellowship that they have with one another. That Paul enjoyed this fellowship with the church in Philippi, that I would say is at risk of being destroyed. I mean, Paul is in jail and the church is out there. So they are both facing uncertain times. There was division, as I mentioned, in the church and threats from outside and opposition and all of that. So Paul is seeking to encourage them to know that the fellowship that God has put together between him and the church would be strong, that God is the founder of every true fellowship in the gospel, that God would complete the purpose of every fellowship in the gospel that he had for them, for their purpose, for their growth. And I know how that feels for us today, right? We may feel that our fellowship with one another is under threat because we're not meeting together at church. You're now watching a sermon on a video at home, and I'm sitting in my office with books around me. But we must be encouraged that God, who brought us together as one family of God, that he will be faithful to keep us together, that the love that we share, the unity we share as we seek to serve one another here in East Lake, that God is faithful, that he will keep us together. He called us here. We have a mission. He brought us together, and he will keep us together regardless of what we may face. Our fellowship is intact. Okay, and so Paul wants the church to hold firmly to this truth, to this assurance that God has not and God will not leave them alone. Oh God, that will not let us go, that he's working in their life now and will do so to the very end. He will remain faithful because he alone can accomplish it. I mean, he started the work of the gospel in their life of transforming them, and he's not going to leave them alone. That we can be reassured that just in the same way that we are not the initiators of his work, it is him who initiates that work. Neither does it depend on us to sustain it. It is God's faithfulness that keeps us. That we cannot be confident in anything in us or what we can do. We cannot be confident in our government and what they can do to protect and do all those things. We ought to be thankful for all those things. But our ultimate confidence lies in Christ and in him alone. Notice how Paul is not just focusing on their circumstances, on suffering and all these things. But he is trying to point the church in Philippi, trying to point us to Christ, to him alone. We need to look up more, to look at him, to look at Christ, who has begun this good work in us, and that he will be able to finish it. And that's what we need to reassure one another, right, today, that we have faith in God, that we have faith in Christ, and that we, even though we may face moments that are trying, coronavirus or whatever it is, and during those times when we face hardships, that we were tempted, our faith really falters. And so we need to encourage one another, to be reassured of not only his presence, but also his guiding presence, that he's going to be with us, that whatever he started in us, his protection, his love, his care, he will still see us through, because he's not done with us. And then finally, verses 9 through 11, that this work that God is doing in their life and ours actually has a goal. And so Paul makes a specific prayer, right? And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. I love that. And Paul is now interceding for the church, and he gives us the content of his prayer, which is this. He wants them to grow spiritually. He's already told them how much he loves them. He doesn't shy away from telling them how much he loves them. He knows that this church loves them, and they've supported him financially and otherwise. He knows they love them. But then he's able to say, I want the quality and the generosity of your love to continue to abound, to grow more and more. Why would he say that? Because love must constantly grow and increase. Man, I really pray that, you know, during this time as we're experiencing this horrible pandemic, that our love for God and for one another would grow, would abound even more, increase even more. And this love that Paul is talking about is not some kind of a you know, blind love, as the cliche goes, right? That he wants them to grow in love, love with knowledge, meaning so that they may have spiritual insights to choose not what's good from what's bad, but to actually choose what is best and what is excellent. To make good choices as they love one another, their love should be knowledgeable of God himself so that they may know how to live right. So they may know how to seek what's best for the other person. I cannot think of a better time to show our love, to love in an excellent way, than the time that we're living in right now. seeking to do what's best for your family, for your friends, for those that are vulnerable. Because what's best is not always obvious, right? We've been asked to stay home so that we don't, you know, spread the virus. Not because for some of us we're at high risk, but because there are people that are at high risk. That's a loving thing. It's a loving thing to do that. And so Paul wants them to grow so that they may know how to best express their love for one another. The best way to love one another. And the standard for this love is what? God. It is Jesus who shows us the best way to love. And he loves sacrificially. He loves without holding back. He loves without condition. He just simply loves us, that he lays down his life for us. And I love how Paul ends this particular pericope here with prayer. In verse 11, it says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. A doxology, right? Think about it. Even with everything that's going on in Paul's life, he is still able to burst out in exuberant joy. Chains and divisions could not take away his joy, since the cross was followed by the exaltation of Christ. Paul was convinced that all who shared in the suffering of Christ would also share in the victory of Jesus Christ. Friends, this is our hope. That's what we share together. And we need to all together just stand up and rejoice. You can do that even in your home right now. Burst out in joy, not because your circumstances are bad, but because you know the one who sits on the throne. And he's the one who gives us joy. It is time for us to encourage one another, to build each other up in Christ as we go through life's ups and downs, together as a family of Christ. You know why? Because as Sinclair Ferguson says, he says, quote, the bonds of grace are strengthened by adversity. The affection of the heart is deepened by sharing in suffering. And we have confidence. You can have confidence, my friend, that in all things, even with this pandemic, under all circumstances, even when we are told to get cooped up in our homes and not having to go anywhere, that God remains faithful to us, that he is truly the love that will not let us go, and we can rest in him and be encouraged even as this terrible virus continues to spread and threatening and disrupting our lives, that Jesus is on the throne and we will be safe in his loving arms. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we do thank you. Thank you for reminding us through the story and the experience of Paul, who was filled with so much joy and contentment. May we be able to encourage one another through our gratitude to you for what you've done. Encourage one another by reassuring each other of the work that you've begun in us. Would you encourage us as we encourage one another in prayer, praying for each other during this time. May your word dwell in our hearts, and may you keep us safe. May you allow us to rejoice despite our circumstances by giving us the joy which is your fruit that can only come from you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.